You're listening to the Gordon Damer Show podcast on 98.7 ESPN.
We keep rolling along in what is our new normal for right now. Hey there. Good morning. Welcome in. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM ESPN New York. Plenty to keep us busy over this next 60 minutes as we take you up, of course, until Golic and Wingo, who come your way at 6 o'clock. The theme song, a little different. If today's the first day you're listening this week, a little way to salute all of you. I would think that most people that are listening at this hour is that you're up, right? You have to be up for work, and you're probably one of the people that are still going out to work. And chances are you're still out there, still going in, still getting the job done. So we thank you for what you continue to do. And most of us, myself included, working from home, if you can do that, that's great. Obviously, be smart. Do the right thing. Social distancing is an important thing to do right now in the world that we live in. But for all those people that are out there still making the world go, right? The world does not stop. And a lot of you that are up right now are those people, delivery guys, you know, driving around, doing all that what you need to do. We obviously appreciate everything that you do, and we salute you. Of course, the number you know, 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. That's still up. That's still working. That's not canceled. That's not working from home. It's not postponed. Also not postponed, my Twitter handle, at Gordon Damer. That's where we will have the latest matchups in the rewatchable movie bracket. New results, already down to the Sweet 16, just like that. Just like that, we are down to the Sweet 16. Maybe, you know, I should have spaced this out a little bit better. That's a bad job by me. Great response to the matchups. Yesterday, we had our closest matchup. I thought we were going to almost have to go to overtime to decide it. It was that close. But really, just now, it's my math. But by my math, I think it was the difference between a win and a loss was just like two or three votes. So that's super close. We also had our second highest vote total overall of the tournament. So we will get you caught up on that. You can also follow me on Instagram. My daily stories there, at Gordon Damer. But let's start the show off with the sports news. We're still a sports show. We get you everything that you need to know in one little 60-minute package. And in case you're just getting up, just getting rolling on this Tuesday, well, we talked about it yesterday. I don't really know how much of a focus it is on anyone's life right now, unless it directly impacts you. But the move to postpone the Olympics continues. Dick Pound, who is a longtime member of the IOC, says that the conversation about postponing the games has already begun, and that he says that it will be postponed. But nothing official has happened as of yet. Like, the actual IOC has not come out and said, yes, this has happened. But he told USA Today that it will come in stages over the next 4 weeks. The main takeaway is the games are going to be postponed until next year, right? Like, that's the smart decision. The idea in think about all the sporting events that have already been postponed. Even when you took into account not having fans in the stands, to think that you would have the Olympics, people flying across the globe, all into one country, while this global pandemic is going on. I mean, it's completely irresponsible. And whether or not the IOC comes out, and they're going to have to, but the decision is going to be made for them, right? By the countries just saying we're not going to show up. But you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this yesterday. If the decision was left to the athletes themselves, I'm telling you right now, a good portion of them would go. Even right now, there was that study. I want to say it was like 10 years ago. It's probably longer than that, where they asked Olympic athletes if they would take a drug that would guarantee them a gold medal, but they would die 10 years later. And I can't remember what the total was, but it was like more than half said that they would. So the overwhelming, but you know, when you take a look at the numbers with coronavirus, right? 99% of people with coronavirus don't die, or at least that's what seems like the number. It's pretty close to that. And generally, Olympic athletes are young people. Youth, as they always say, is wasted on the young. They don't think it's ever going to impact them. So it's not going to matter because at some point the games will just be postponed as they should be. But that got me thinking yesterday. You know, if you left it up to the athletes themselves, it's probably just as well you don't leave it up to the athletes themselves. Then there's the football. Free agency rolls on. And there's the Jets. The Jets, we really have not focused on them all that much because they've not really made big splashes in free agency. But I didn't really focus on it at the time, but yesterday another move that they made that I really liked. They bring back Jordan Jenkins, 1 year, $5 million. He had 8 sacks last year. He's only 25 years old. And to me, that's a fantastic job by the Jets. Now, I'm not exactly sure why there was not a bigger market for Jordan Jenkins, but that's a little bit surprising. But good for, hey, who cares if you're the Jets? Maybe there was something about the Jets that, you know, maybe he had another offer that was similar and clearly was not getting, you know, if he would have gotten a long-term offer from someplace else, I'm sure he would have grabbed it. But getting him back for 1 year, $5 million is a good job. And that's the second time I've kind of felt like, wow, that's kind of surprising. There wasn't a bigger market for that guy because the Jets also brought back Brian Poole, who was coming off a real strong season in the secondary, was clearly, right, the biggest bright spot in the secondary, which is kind of faint praise considering how the secondary was. But I was surprised they got him for a 1 year deal. I think it was also for like $5 million. And I was surprised at the time there was not a greater market for a guy like that. Now he's a little bit older. I think he's 27, but still surprising. So credit to the Jets, credit to Joe Douglas. Now, he has to do more, clearly, than just bring back guys, right? The Jets' rebuilding effort is clearly a long-term project. But those are two kind of under-the-radar kind of moves, right? Not big, not splashy, not big money, but clearly areas of need for them. Someone who can rush the passer, someone who can play well in the secondary. And they're really areas of need for everybody. So it's surprise. I guess my bigger portion of it is it's kind of surprising there wasn't a bigger market for either guy. But at the end of the day, if you're the Jets and you know those players better, you should know those players better than anybody else. That's two really good moves that don't cost you big money that should, if nothing else, even if they take a step back from where they were last year, it's not like you're investing heavy money in either one. So good moves by Joe Douglas there. And it kind of makes you wonder, right? We're a week into free agency now, right? And what does that mean for Robbie Anderson? Because before free agency started, there were all these reports, right? There's a really strong market for Robbie Anderson. There was talk that he was going to get, $12 million, $13 million, $14 million a year, which never really seemed to make sense based on the production. I guess you would kind of, it would be more of a projection, right? Oh, a speed receiver, you get him here, you get him there. But the draft is loaded with wide receivers. The wide receiver market outside of Amari Cooper, there's not really been much of a market for anybody. So is this going to be another case where the Jets can bring him back for far less than was anticipated? Certainly doesn't seem like he's going to be getting, maybe he does get more than a 1 year deal. Maybe he wants a 1 year deal. Maybe he wants to kind of reestablish his market and he would be willing to take a shorter term deal. What's clear is he's not going to be breaking the bank wherever he goes. Like if that was going to happen, it would have happened by now. So it'll be interesting to see because I would have thought by now, Robbie, you would have had some reports. This team's interested, that team's interested, and it's pretty clear his camp was good at getting out the idea, oh, he's going to really be making this money. Joe Douglas has kind of slow played it, and maybe clearly it seems like that's the right approach. And the reports also are, well, the reports about him getting 12, 13 a year are wrong. So maybe these are that the Jets want him at a certain price, which you would figure, hey, of course, everybody wants somebody at a certain price and they're not willing to go over that price. But as each day kind of goes by, you would think that unless some team just does something crazy, that it would favor the Jets bringing back Robbie Anderson on some type of short-term deal. Speaking of smaller deals, Giants, they actually made another one that I kind of like as well. They got Deion Lewis yesterday. 1 year deal for him. Again, not a huge deal, but someone Joe Judge would have a connection to with the whole Patriot thing. And a guy who always feels like he's just productive, right? And another guy you get at a pretty reasonable cost. So, you know, we focus on free agency and all the big splashy deals at the start of it. And a lot of times It's the ones, as you kind of get into it a little bit more, that are not the big money deals that sometimes have a bigger impact and less downside. And really, the bigger question for the Giants as we get closer to the draft, is this finally the year that Dave Gettleman trades down? Because the more you look at it, it certainly seems like, right, Giants at 4, Dolphins at 5, Dolphins, all the talk about Tua, the Chargers, they certainly seem like they need a quarterback. Some other teams look like they could use a quarterback if the Lions don't do something surprising and take a quarterback at 3. So this would seem like the ideal year where the Giants, if it's the Chargers, right, they move down to 6, pick up some extra picks, and still get the guy they want. Now, it makes all the sense in the world until you realize Dave Gettleman has never traded down in any draft. Not just like in the first round, in any round ever. That's hard to believe. So is this finally the year? He will probably never have a better reason to. But will he? Well, I guess we'll kind of figure that out as we get closer to the draft. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Coming up, we'll give you the latest results in our rewatchable movie bracket, which has taken up so much of the show here over the last week or two. We got two more matchups on the slate today, and we really start to move into the heavy hitters. Right now, there's spots in the Elite Eight up for grabs, so the real powerhouses have shown themselves. Yesterday, we got our first number one seed ousted. We got our first number two seed ousted. And you know, when we put it out, we put out the bracket. I put out the bracket. I came up with the rankings. I came up with the seedings. I got, oh, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. Oh, stick to sports. That's why I stick to sports. You don't know movies. Well, it just turns out, as you take a look at the brackets, I did a pretty good job. We gave you the sports news of the morning in case you're just getting up, just getting rolling. We touched on the Jets a little bit, touched on the Giants a little bit. And Giants are really going to be the more fascinating one as we kind of move closer to the draft, just to see whether or not this is the year that Dave Gettleman finally finds an offer that's acceptable to him. And it's also going to be interesting to see which way do the Giants go. It certainly seems like things as they're set up right now, and just Dave Gettleman's, affection for the Hog Mollies and just what the draft is and what the Giants needs could be, that offensive line is an area where he goes in round number one, and sitting at 4 with the Dolphins at 5, the Chargers at 6, and some other teams, you know, a little later, a little lower down, that could certainly be looking at Tua Tagovailoa, that this could be the year that the Giants, not in need of a quarterback, could really pay dividends for them. So that's something we'll be keeping an eye on as we get closer to the NFL draft. But of course, we've been focusing a lot during the month of March. No March Madness, no NCAA tournament to keep us busy. We've been focusing a lot on the rewatchable movie bracket, which is really starting to take shape. And I feel like, you know, I don't want to injure myself in these perilous times, patting myself on the back, but I feel like I did a pretty good job. Feel like if anyone deserves credit, I feel like it's me. You know, they say sometimes you don't toot your own horn, there is no music. So the matchups for yesterday, including our closest matchup ever, Brian and I were talking before the show, it was coming right down to the wire, and we're trying to figure out, all right, well, if this thing remains tied at 4:30 in the morning, what are we going to do when we hit 5 o'clock? It did not remain tied. We do not need overtime. So let's get some music, Brian, if you will, to kind of recap the matchups from yesterday. Let's start in the drama division. Not really any surprises there, as you would expect. And we'll start with the number two seed, Godfather, facing off against Wolf of Wall Street. I was a little worried about Wolf of Wall Street not being that old. You know, you've seen it probably a lot recently, and as we've kind of seen with some of the other movies, if you can be a little bit more recent, it favors you. But it just shows you the strength of the number two seed in the drama division, Godfather, just how great it is, how fantastic it is. It speaks throughout time, even as old as it is. What was that, 73, 74? Godfather moves on rather easily, 65-35. So they
are going to search me when I first meet them, right?
Yes.
So I can't have a weapon on me then.
Oh, Michael.
But if Clemenza can figure a way to have a weapon planted there for me, then I'll kill them both.
Oh, my God. The transformation of Michael's character from the... Even now, I feel like sometimes I'll pick up something. It's so layered. And really, if you were doing... It's the reason why we didn't do best movie of all time, because it would be almost impossible to take down Godfather. But Godfather moves on. They're into the Sweet 16. The other Sweet 16 finalists decided yesterday, not really a surprise, Shawshank blows away Full Metal Jacket.
But I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First you hate them, then you get used to them. Enough time passes, you get so you depend on them. That's institutionalized.
Yes, Red, an institutionalized man, had to even ask to permission to go to the bathroom. It's not good. So Shawshank is into the Sweet 16, and you know, everybody, oh, you don't know what you're doing with these brackets. The drama division, it turns out the final four in that one bracket, the number one seed Goodfellas, number two Godfather, number three Shawshank, and the final one is the number five Braveheart, which just happened to nip A Few Good Men, which, I don't know, like that one, 4 or 5, you'd like to watch both. They're both fantastic. All right, so we move on to the comedy division. A lot of criticism at the start of the tournament about the number one seed Ferris Bueller. And I thought yesterday, well, a tough matchup against the number eight Billy Madison, but Ferris Bueller moving on 55-45.
I'm so disappointed in Cameron. $20 says he's sitting in his car debating about whether or not he should go out. He'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come over. He'll make me feel guilty. This is ridiculous, okay? I'll go.
And they do go to the Sweet 16, moving on over Billy Madison, the bites the dust. A little surprising to me. And I have to be honest, not too many of these matchups, when you take a look at them head-to-head, did they surprise me. That one, that result kind of surprised me a little bit. Another surprise, not surprising result, the number three Anchorman, moving on over 40-year-old Virgin, 57-43.
It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther, so you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
It stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I would say 40-year-old Virgin for me if both are on, and which one am I watching? But you disagree. So, again, the comedy division, for all the criticism of the rankings, oh, you don't know what you're doing. Number one, Ferris Bueller. Number two, My Cousin Vinny. Number three, Anchorman. And the 13 seed, Wedding Crashers. Okay, so Wedding Crashers is the 13 seed. But, you know, sometimes in the NCAA tournament, you have a 13 seed make the Sweet 16. It's not that unusual. All right, so we move on to, is it the Action Region now? Oh, my goodness, already the Action Region. The number one, Die Hard, facing off against The Rock. Would this be interesting? No, it would not. Die Hard blowing away the field by a final of 85-15. Did I give you a clip for Die Hard? I guess I didn't give you a clip for Die Hard.
No, all you right, didn't.
All right. They move on very easily. Then you get the Jaws speed matchup, which somebody, I don't remember who it was, I can't find it right now, brought up. Perfect analysis. Speed is just Jaws on a bus. And most of you agree, because Jaws wins easily, which it should, 62-38. Jaws moving on.
Anti-shark cage.
Anti-shark cage. You go inside the cage. Cage goes in the water. You go in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark. Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain.
Yes, poor Quint. Did not end well for Quint, but I don't want to give away anything. Although it's been on every day basically since 1975. You should have seen it by now. But Jaws into the Sweet 16, not a surprise there. Then we move on to the wild card. Oh, so just to point out, The action region is down to the 1-seed Die Hard, the 2-seed Jaws, the 5-seed Terminator, and the 6-seed Dark Knight. All right, so it's not 1, 2, 3, or 4, but you need some upsets. You need some surprises. Then we come to the wild card region, which we always knew was going to be a wild card, right? A lot of different types of movies, comedies, dramas, action, all in one. So we got the matchup yesterday, Big Lebowski going up against Coming to America. And I said, even when the show was going on yesterday, going to be very tough for the number one seed, Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski, it feels like they lost a player right before the tournament. Just never was able to. And I feel like it is a perfect number one seed for a wild card division. But you disagree, because very easily, Coming to America is moving on to the Sweet 16.
I want you and that young man to tie that knot. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the Battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island.
All right, so there you go. There's two other wild card region matchups yesterday. Back to the Future, able to take down Rocky 2. So the 7-seed Back to the Future taking down Rocky 2, 52-48.
Hello? Anybody home? Oh. Think, McFly. Right. Think.
Yeah, I think you guys need to think. I understand Rocky was under a tough spot because some people's favorite Rocky is Rocky 3. Other people's favorite Rocky is Rocky 4. But Rocky 2 is really, that's when they really started to figure out the genre, right? Like, it was not just all the character development of Rocky 1. It wasn't the played out nature. Like, they keep having to push the limits. Rocky 4, you have them running up the side of a mountain with no gear. You know what I mean? Like, Rocky 2 was like they finally figured out the perfect way to use the montages. The dialogue was great. You have Mickey. I don't want to get upset in a biblical place like this. That scene was fantastic. Adrian in the bed telling him to win. I think you guys really missed the boat on this one, but Back to the Future does move on. Our second highest vote total of the entire tournament. So we needed more than 1,000 votes to take down Rocky 2, which is a credit to Rocky 2. But at the end of the day, Back to the Future is moving on to the future. And then the final matchup in the wild card region, which was our closest vote total, went right down to the final seconds. And this one is a little bit of a surprise to me as well. Donnie Brasco moving on past the number 14 seed, 48 Hours, by a final of 50.1 to 49.9. So, I mean, it's just a couple of votes difference, right? I think it's like 3 votes difference that would have swung 48 Hours into the win. But instead, it's Donnie Brasco, which was a late entry into the field, because I felt like Donnie Brasco, it appealed to a lot of the other types of movies. Its first matchup was against Carlito's Way, and it pulled off the upset there. And then it's not an upset, but it was, considering how strong 48 Hours came out of the box. So here you go. The Sweet 16 is now Goodfellas, Godfather, Shawshank, Braveheart. Those are the four movies made that region. Comedy, Ferris Bueller, My Cousin Vinny, Anchorman, Wedding Crashers. And then finally, action. Not finally, but action, Die Hard, Jaws, Terminator, Dark Knight, and then Wild Card, which is really all over the map. Coming to America, The Hangover, Donnie Brasco, and Back to the Future. And it's kind of hard to envision a scenario where Coming to America and Back to the Future are not going to move on, but who knows? There's already been tons of upsets so far. And you could say, well, Gordon, you're talking about how you got all the other regions right. The wild card is a 7, a 9, 11, and a 13. I would simply say I blame you. I blame the audience. Obviously, you guys got that wrong. You messed it all up. And sometimes you have to take the blame. And I would put the blame 100% on you guys.
Thank you.
45 years ago today, Chuck Wepner knocks down Muhammad Ali. And that was the inspiration for Sylvester Stallone and the character of Rocky. And Mike Vaccaro of the Post, great to write up about that fight. You know, I had heard, as a huge Rocky fan, you always hear that that was the inspiration. It was not until this morning I actually went back and watched the fight. Now, Ali, like, you think by watching Rocky and knowing that story that it was like this brutal shot that, you know, knocked down Ali like it is for Rocky when he knocks down Apollo Creed. Watching it, Muhammad Ali said that, I think he said like he misstepped or something like that, or he took a misstep, or Wepner stood on his foot or something. I don't know what the, when you watch the actual video of it, yeah, you can see that because it didn't look like, even though the description was, oh my God, that was a brutal right hand to the ribs there. It really didn't seem like that great of a shot. And just kind of watching the fight and skimming through it, it was really like a glorified exhibition, which you obviously Sylvester Stallone kind of used as part of the inspiration, right, in the movie. But it did not seem like some brutal right hand. But you can check out that Mike Vaccaro article 45 years ago today. And fitting, 45 years later, you people did not appreciate Rocky II. How dare you? On the anniversary, people. Gets knocked out by Back to the Future. Come on. What's wrong with you people? All right, so our matchups for the day. Hey, it's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. 1-800-919-ESPN is obviously the phone number. You can get in that way, and we'll get to the phones in just a second. But our matchups for today, rewatchable movie bracket. We have scaled it back, just two matchups, two single matchups. And they come from, one, the comedy division. And I'm, look, at this point, with the voting public, you can't trust anything. So I don't know how these are going to turn out. And it's really up to you to vote. Because we saw yesterday, 48 hours bites the dust, basically because two or three votes. And Donnie Brasco is moving on. But our two matchups for today, one in the comedy region. Got to scale this back, people. We don't know how long this coronavirus thing's going to last. Got to scale back this movie bracket. Can't be giving away results. Nine games every single day. Can't do that. The first matchup, comedy division, as I said, comedy region, Sweet 16 matchup. It's the number two seed, My Cousin Vinny, facing off against the number three, Anchorman. Oh my goodness, which way will it go? Well, I will say this, Anchorman is the more quotable movie, right? Like, but it's not really a good movie. It's just kind of clip, 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 clip. Whereas My Cousin Vinny, fantastic movie. And Joe Pesci, fantastic in it. Shows his range. He's not just a dramatic actor who can be re-rolled scary in movies. No, he's funny as well. So My Cousin Vinny facing off against Anchorman. We'll see which way that one goes. Spot in the Elite Eight up for grabs. And then I went through all the matchups. And I said, all right, what's going to be the toughest one? If both are on at the same time, which way are you going? Now, coming into the tournament, I told you, the number one overall seed was Goodfellas. And Goodfellas, a very tough matchup in this round, of the Sweet 16 round. Goodfellas facing off against Braveheart. Ooh, which way do you go there? I know which way I go. Love Braveheart. Braveheart's fantastic. I can't go against Goodfellas. Goodfellas wins. It's like rock, paper, scissors when Kramer figures out that rock flies right through paper. That's Goodfellas. Goodfellas beats everything. But whether or not the voting public agree, I don't know. I can't trust you guys. You've already shown that with some of the decisions you've made. Look at that wild card division. The Hangover still hanging around. Rocky II's out and the Hangover is still... Come on. Unbelievable. 1-800-919-ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. All right, let's get some phone calls in here as we lead you up until 6 o'clock. At which time it is Golic and Wingo that come your way. But right, let's go to Lewis and Whippany. Lewis, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Gordon?
I'm good.
Listen, I actually watched that Young Frankenstein movie yesterday.
Yes. Did you enjoy it? Yeah. See, the problem is that you have to kind of see these movies in their time. Maybe not when they first come out. Some of the movies are even too old for me to have seen to come out. But you kind of have to see them in their wheelhouse. So to go back, I'm sure, you know, maybe you liked it somewhat, but It's not going to be to you. You have to see these movies when you're still impressionable. That's, I guess, the point. But go ahead.
Well, the jokes were pretty funny. Like, I don't know why it just kept making me laugh every time they repeated that lady's name and the horses kept, like,
Frau
going
Luca.
Crazy.
Rawr! And the horse, yes.
Yes, that, for whatever the reason, that just cracked me up. The movie, I mean, Gene Wilder, he's amazing. Like, the whole movie was great. I can see why you didn't put it. It probably would have not lasted past round one.
It would not.
Also, there's a reason why The Hangover is still around, man. I mean, a lot of people just watch it just for that scene where Mike Tyson knocks out, I don't even know his name, the
Ed
big
Helms?
Guy. That's amazing scene. Also, Anchorman's going to win, and Goodfellas is going to win. They're both going to move on. And it just goes to show you that you don't know what you're talking about, because Back to the Future.
Wait a second. How can you say I don't know what I'm talking about? The drama division is this 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds. The comedy is 1, 2, 3, and 13. The action is 1, 2, 5, and 6. I think I did a pretty good job.
No. I was just going to say, if you let me finish, in the wild card. You didn't know what you were talking about in the wild card.
Well,
how do you
it's
not
the
pull
wild coming? Card. That's supposed to be a wild and wack. You know, it seems like every year in the NCAA tournament, there's that one region that blows up everybody's bracket. So it's not all that surprising. Look, and also, you guys got it wrong. You guys screwed it up. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, think about it. Why wouldn't you watch Back to the Future, and why wouldn't you watch Coming to America against any other movie?
Well, look, like, I think Coming to America has a better case than Back to the Future. I'm just telling you, and Lewis, thanks as always for the call. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. I'm just saying myself, and this is the, you know, some people have brought up, well, how am I rewatching it? Am I rewatching it with family? Am I rewatching it with my kids? No, you're sitting by yourself. You have total control. Nobody can tell you what to watch and what not to watch. The decision is only yours. So the scenario I gave you was Saturday night. The wife's asleep. The kids are asleep. The dog's on the couch. Maybe the dog's asleep. But you're sitting there by yourself. You have total control of the remote. You have all the channels that you could possibly want. And you find out, you're making the run of channels, or it's late at night and you're getting ready to go to bed before work the next day, and there's a movie that's on, or two movies that are on, that always suck you in. And even though you didn't mean to sit up and watch them, and even though you've seen them 1,000 times, you get sucked in and you watch it again. And that's the scenario that I used. So there's no scenario where it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I should be getting to bed, and Back to the Future is on, and I'm going to be sucked in and watch Back to the Future. It's a fine movie. I've showed it to my kids. It's one of those ones that when you have kids, you think about, all right, what movies can I show them? That was one of the first ones. It's fantastic. But in terms of rewatchable time and time and time again, it really doesn't fit that bill for me. And Coming to America, as I said, that has a better case. The first half of the movie's fantastic. But again, It really can't compete against some of these other movies. And certainly, whatever movie comes out of the wild card region cannot carry the jock of the other regions. And unfortunately, that's the way it went. So maybe I shouldn't have made a wild card region. Maybe I should have made a horror region, or maybe, I don't know, come up with something else. It seemed like wild card would be the right way to go. But obviously, you guys took that and screwed it all up. We have been focusing on our rewatchable movie bracket. We'll give you some of the early returns there in a second. But just to kind of recap some of the sports news as we continue to roll on in this new normal. And whenever we do get back to it, we shall see. But we keep on keeping on in the meantime. And the NFL helps us keep on keeping on. Not that there were major deals yesterday, but we didn't really focus on the Jets all that much in free agency, but they made another move yesterday, kind of under the radar. Not like it's not going to be a huge splash, but they bring back Jordan Jenkins on a 1-year deal for $5 million. And for a guy who had 8 sacks last year, is still young. I think he's only 25 or 26. I feel like that is a fantastic job for them. And it kind of ties into the move that they already made with Brian Poole, where they bring him back on a short-term deal, $5 million, coming off a real strong season. And that's two minor deals, $10 million total, kind of under the radar moves that I really like for the Jets. Now, the problem for the Jets is they have a lot more work to do than simply bring back guys. They have to go out and find guys elsewhere in the draft, in free agency, because their rebuilding effort, I think what you really see is it's a long-term project. They are really far away. This idea, well, Tom Brady's out of the division now, let's celebrate. No, the Jets have to be about the Jets. It's not about competing with the Patriots just yet. They got to figure out some things for themselves, and they have lots of areas of need. But to be able to get two guys who were productive last year, who are young, who are not expensive, in two areas where there are really needs for everybody. Everybody can use another cornerback. Everyone can use a guy who's 25 and can pick up 8 sacks. And I think the year before, Jenkins had like 6 or 7. So it's not like he's going to be some monster pass rusher, and they still have to kind of address that area. It seems like every year the Jets are talking about getting a pass rusher. But for two moves for Joe Douglas, who, you know, let's be honest, the jury's still kind of out on him. He wasn't running the draft last year. And we're kind of trying to figure out, you know, just how good of a job he has. He's got a good reputation within league circles. But I feel like with the Jets, a lot of times, every time they have somebody running the show, or at least early on, no, they have a good reputation in league circles. And whether or not they were actually able to perform, they've not been able to. So at least for Joe Douglas early on, that's a couple of deals that I do like. And it makes you kind of wonder for Robbie Anderson what's going to happen for him, because I would have thought by now you would have had a lot more buzz about where Robbie Anderson was going, especially with the reports before the market opened up. Oh, you know, there's going to be a strong market for Robbie Anderson. I was thinking to myself at the time, really? He's not really been all that productive. He'll have moments where he'll show you the potential, but that potential is fleeting. And more times than not, there's times where he just kind of disappears. So this idea that there was going to be a strong market for Robbie Anderson has not materialized so far. And strong market meant he was going to be making somewhere around $12, $13 million a year. Certainly he's not going to get that, and he's certainly not going to be getting some big long-term huge contract. At least it doesn't seem like that's the case right now. So you're wondering if it's going to be a case where the Jets can get him for far less than was anticipated. Because if he was going to break the bank, he would have broken the bank by now. So that's the Jets story. The Giants story, again, another under-the-radar move that you like. Deion Lewis, they get him, a guy you would think that Joe Judge has some connection to with the time in New England, and a guy that just always feels like he's kind of productive. So he's not, I mean, obviously Saquon Barkley's the main guy, but a guy who can catch some passes out of the backfield and always feels like is able to put up some numbers, and you get him at a reasonable cost on a one-year deal. And the bigger question for the Giants, as we get closer to draft time, is this finally the year where Dave Gettleman's going to trade down from 4? Because as things stand right now, and I'm sure maybe you get more information from Mel Kiper, it seems like the Dolphins are sitting at 5, and if any mock drafts are going to be accurate outside of picks 1 and 2, it would seem like pick 5 is a lock, if he's there, that the Dolphins will take Tua Tagovailoa. Whether or not he's still there, if you know that and I know that, and it seems like all the mock drafts kind of think that, you would think that if there's any team anywhere that really is in love with Tua Tagovailoa, they know, hey, we got to move up from where we are to get ahead of the Dolphins. And that plays perfectly into the Giants' hands if they are in a situation where they like, you know, 2 or 3 players. They could possibly move down a couple of picks, get a couple of extra picks. And when you're up that high, you know, moving down a couple of spots, that is really profitable in terms of future picks. And while I like some of the things that the Giants have done, the rebuilding of that defense, the rebuilding of the entire team, really, from where they've been here the last couple of years, they're going to need a lot more picks, more shots at the dartboard to hit some home runs or hit some bullseyes. That would be a better sports analogy there, genius. But yeah, I mean, and Dave Gettleman has been a guy who has never traded down, ever, in any round whatsoever. And this one, it would seem to, there will be no, if he's not going to do it here, if he's not going to do it with this pick, it just tells you he will never do it anywhere. And I think that as we get closer, you're going to hear some of the buzz. I know he said in the past, you know, you don't want to get too cute. You don't want to, that was what he said with the Barkley pick, which in hindsight, as great as Saquon Barkley is, Giants, considering their needs, considering the lack of talent on the roster, they would have been better off trading down. They would have been better off stockpiling picks because of the amount of work they still need to do. And I like the moves that they've made overall, but they do have a whole lot more work to do. And if you look at Dave Gettleman's resume, there's a lot of holes. But if you're going to give him credit for anything, you'd have to say he's done a fairly decent job in the draft. It hasn't been fantastic. Nobody hits on all their picks. But it's certainly been better than free agency. It's certainly been better than the trades he's made. Those two, you can't give him, you know, too much credit for that overall. Maybe there's a move here or a move there, but not really. So you would think that if you're going to rebuild the Giants, if he's going to rebuild the Giants, he's going to have to do it primarily in the draft. And sitting at four with quarterback needy teams sitting right behind them, and it certainly seems like if all the medicals still continue to check out, that Tua Tagovailoa, there is going to be a market for him. And can the Giants, can Dave Gettleman turn that market into something of a benefit for them, considering they don't need a quarterback? So that's been the sports news of the day. There was one other sports story yesterday that, you know, it's a really sad story. The former St. John's guard, Lee Green, passed away. He was a victim of the coronavirus, and he was a guy that played at St. John's 91 to 94. So I'm assuming that was the Brian Mahoney years. That was like the end of Louis Carnesecca's tenure as head coach and the start of Brian Mahoney's. And a 49-year-old retired police officer from Brooklyn. He was a DJ who was working that way, and they believe that that's how they picked up how he picked up the virus. So obviously condolences to his family. It's just an awful story. And did not have any pre-existing conditions. So, you know, you were looking for the light at the end of the tunnel with this pandemic. And you can look at the overall numbers, right? And you try to keep things in perspective. You try to keep yourself calm. And most people, you know, they say most people, you know, if you get it, it's that the symptoms generally are mild. If you're not too old, if you're good health. And then you get a story like this, you know, a guy that had no pre-existing conditions, guy that's not all that old, he's 49 years old. Or you get the story about Rudy Gobert. You see that story, like the Rudy Gobert, who's in fantastic shape, is a guy who can't smell right now. Like, what the heck is that? So we try to keep it light in the morning. We try, you know, you have the whole rest of your day to be depressed. So, and there are some signs that maybe there is a little bit light at the end of the tunnel. Stories this morning about Italy recording a second straight day of smaller increases. So maybe some good news there. Maybe you can start to say, all right, maybe in, you know, this amount of time, but you have to be you have to be safe. You have to be smart. You have to take care of yourself. So I saw that story, and I just wanted to, I did want to mention it. So condolences to his family. Now, as I said, we try to keep it light. We try to keep it fun here in the morning. And we have been doing that with our rewatchable movie bracket. And we have two matchups today in case you're just joining us. They are one from the comedy region, which I think is going to be clearly the closer matchup, and I'm interested to see how this one goes. It's the number two seed, My Cousin Vinny, facing off against the number three, Anchorman. And at least so far, My Cousin Vinny, another fantastic job by me. My Cousin Vinny, the number two seed, leads the number three, Anchorman, 60-40. Now, it's very early on. But and that's not not too much of a deficit to overcome for Anchorman. We'll see if it's able to do that. But the other matchup of the day, I tried to find the best one, like the one that would be the most challenging. But maybe this is something where Goodfellas is just going to run through this like UNLV style with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon, because right now Goodfellas blowing away Braveheart 87-13. And Braveheart was a very strong showing coming off the big upset win. Not big upset, but good win against a few good men in the previous round. And now all of a sudden facing off against Goodfellas. But we've seen it 1,000 times, right? Teams able to pull off a really good win, and then they just don't have their legs for the next matchup. And at least so far, much like yesterday with the Big Lebowski, it's going to be very hard to envision Braveheart. Right now, William Wallace is sitting on that board at the end, and is just about to start to scream, freedom! Because he's getting gutted right now by Goodfellas, 87-13. So you can vote on the movie bracket on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. Tomorrow we'll have two more matchups. We'll give you the results of those ones if things remain. Oh, and already I start to see a little bit movement for Anchorman. So maybe a little bit of a comeback there. But you can vote on the movie bracket on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And we'll have that for you tomorrow. And we'll see if something happens with Robbie Anderson today as well, because NFL free agency keeps on keeping on. And maybe the Jets can continue this trend of making little moves here. And Robbie Anderson would not be a little move. That would be a big move. But you wonder, maybe there's somebody that the Jets look at in the first round with all these receivers that maybe they've fallen in love with as well. Now, they're a little further down. What are they, 11? So there's a lot of things that have to depend on that player still being available for them. But as things stand right now, Robbie Anderson's still a free agent. That market, which was described as so strong, certainly has not materialized. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. Golic and Wingo are coming up next. Please vote on the movies if you have a strong feeling one way or the other on Twitter, at Gordon Damer, and we'll be back with you tomorrow right here, 98.7 FM, ESPN, New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.